This is Upfront, a podcast that dives deep into strategy and design that is shaping retail experiences. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Alexa.
I am so excited that we get to do this together. I feel like it's been talked for so long and now it's here.
I know.
It's so great. So today we are talking all things beauty retail. But before we do, you know, obviously we need to take a minute to introduce ourselves. So I'm Alexa Jewel Schaefer, Director of Strategy.
I'm Jamie Cornelius. I am Executive Creative Director.
And we're with ChangeUp. And for those who don't know, ChangeUp is an experience agency with broad service offering ranging from strategy, innovation, and design all the way through to the physical space with the environment and execution. Our bread and butter is really brand activation, which is just kind of my fancy way of saying store design,
right?
We know that brands have to be more than just boxes with products on the shelves. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, as you know, we recently released parts one and two of our beauty report. And for our listeners out there, ChangeUp has been conducting these national surveys across industry like grocery, restaurants, retail, just to get a better understanding of what's going on, what trends we're seeing, and really help us predict, you know, what's next. But more importantly, what customers want and expect from brands. And in this beauty report specifically, you know, we were introduced to these five key shopper segments that are really changing the game for beauty retail. And while we're not going to dive into those segments specifically, we'll drop a link in the show notes for you all to make sure to download those reports. But I do want to call out that these segments really taught us a lot, how different they are, how they're changing the game, but more importantly, the similarities that they share, right? Especially in those universal truths and those pain points. And so today I kind of want to talk about some of those, but with more of a design lens and perspective. So are you ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. A big takeaway from the report is that beauty is fundamentally emotional. You know, we've learned that 89% of consumers view beauty as a creative self-expression. That's no surprise, right? But what is surprising to me is that nearly 65% wish that stores were more than just about, you know, product on a shelf, right? So with that, like, why do you feel customers view beauty stores as product-focused rather than experience-focused? And touch on your thoughts of that emotional aspect of beauty shopping now a little bit more.
Yeah, well, really, if you think about it, they think that because it is.
Right, yeah, right.
You can go into most beauty retailers and what do you see? It is billboard after billboard of brands. And while, you know, obviously that's an important piece of it, you know, the brands have done a lot of research, they're providing the products. I think what's happened is the retailers have lost their voice.
And
they've given it up to the brands. So as a customer, we're forced to do all of the hard work and really understand why this product over this product. And we're really missing a lot of times in that in-store experience the value that the brand is bringing. You know, what is their point of view? And how are they really going to guide me as a customer to the products that I'm looking for,
right,
for my needs? So,
and it's the value of the actual retailer, not the products that they're selling.
Exactly. And this is probably a little more focused on some of those multi-brand retailers as well, but...
Yeah. And, you know, you touch on that and it's so true, right? Because across all the segments, shoppers really feel kind of this stress of choice overload, right?
Yeah.
Nearly 70% find beauty shopping overwhelming, even with the top rated retailers that we call out. So is it a too much product? Is it a poor organization? Is it bad display? Like, what is it?
I mean, I think it's a mixture, of course.
Yeah.
And there's not really a lot of clear zones.
I mean, there's not.
It's a little bit of what we talk about even when you get into grocery, of the center store problem, where you're putting as many products and you're probably leading with the one that's going to be the signal to go down that aisle. But even when you think about that holistically in beauty, it's really difficult because it's so brand led and they carry so many different products that it's not like you have just an aisle of just foundation.
Right.
Whereas in grocery, at least you have just detergent aisle is a great example. But I think for beauty, it is a mixture. One brand might be known for foundation.
Right.
Or another one, it's all about their lipsticks. And so I'm forced to understand, what does this brand stand for? What are the products that they carry? And then I have to compare it to something that might be a couple aisles over.
Right.
So there's not really a clear rhyme or reason of how things are organized. And depending on your involvement in the beauty category, that's even more difficult. So, and I think what the other piece to that is that so many retailers have based their store layout on this idea of discovery, which is great, but you can't discover everything.
Well, and it's interesting too, because the report specifically calls out this feeling of joy or enjoyment. So it's not so much that discovery is number one anymore. That's more like secondary now, right? So talk on that a little bit with how you balance that discovery and decision-making and I guess enjoyment.
Like that's a difficult one because I do think it ranges by who the retailer is a little bit. But I'd say it's how you start your journey. So first, we need to think about those decision trees. We need to get them to the areas that they're interested in. So what are those different solutions that they're looking for? Because it's not just about, again, going back to the product discussion, it's not just about a single product, but most of us are looking for a solution,
right?
Or whatever our need is. So if we can get a customer to, you know, anti-aging, I'll use that as an example. And we know this time and time again, that if you get them to the area that they need to go quicker, they're going to reward you with more time.
Sure.
And so that's that moment of like, wow, now I'm in the area, I have the products in front of me. And that's where you can discover. I think that's where I want to dive in. I can compare, I can sample, you know, I could do all of those things, but you're giving your customer a sense of trust too,
right?
You are beauty obsessed as well, and you understand as a retailer what they're looking for, making it easier for them so they can trust in you and they're going to then repay you with obviously their purchases. So,
well, it really ties to something else that we saw, which is that shoppers want their own autonomy to shop how they want in the space. Yep. And they are looking for certain information, but they want to be able to choose.
Yes. Right?
They want to be able to choose when they have to engage with staff or even from a digital aspect. So how do we plan and help for that? How do we design a space that has the information, sometimes the same information, but like a pick your own path, so to speak, for that specific customer?
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple ways, obviously, clear navigation is critical. And then I do think there is some opportunity for better digital integration into the experience. We talk about it all the time. It's like, what does digital mean for a physical space? And I don't think that is just about screens, but obviously we have our phones. We do a ton of research.
I was just going to say that's mainly what consumers are doing. We do so much work up front. It's like we have to start over.
Absolutely.
The second we get into the store.
We do. And that's so frustrating because it's basically like you've ignored all of the hard work that we put into it. And so how we can continue that journey, I think there's some retailers that have done a really great job of how you get into that store mode. And it can maybe lead you to product, or once you're at the product, it can also give you suggestions of other products that might be similar. You can compare and contrast. And so you've got a great personalized tool that still could be led by the retailer. So they're still finding out more information from you, but it's helping you get to where you need to be and help you make the decisions that you're trying to make as well. And so, you know, I'd say that it's not necessarily easy. It's not an easy task, but I think there's a lot in more of the fashion industry that are looking at that. I mean, Nike, House of Innovation, and Zara, I think, have done a lot of trial and error and figuring out what works from that in-store integration into the digital and really using the app. But also, it's like if you're getting them to use an app and getting it to be a meaningful experience,
like
the reward is
huge. It's huge.
Right. So
digital is everywhere. Of course, it's not going away. It definitely dominates the early stages of the journey. And there is this notion that the physical store, I mean, it has to justify itself to exist anymore. So what does that really look like?
Yeah, the physical store is the moment that you can have a real human connection and build that brand loyalty. It's probably one of the number one ways that you can do that. And once you get those basics right, that's where you can start to layer on true experience that differentiates you from all your competitors. One of the biggest ones is we hear all the time is like trial in the store.
My goodness. Yeah. I mean, trial is something that has been around forever, but you'll notice we're clearly not delivering on it well because people still complain about it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think there's some, again, lessons we can learn outside of category, just around fitting rooms and some of, not saying that you need a, you know, private space to go try them, but maybe, I don't know, depends on who your customer is, but being able to reserve things ahead of time, be able to really compare them, do it in a way that feels that it is personal because it's such a personal experience.
It's such a personal experience.
So I think that's a critical piece, and really understanding how do we create something unique for our brand. There's some interesting examples out there. I mean, from a brand that just carries their own products, obviously, Glossier, from how they're fixturing, from removing kind of the stock of product and really allowing the product to shine. And in that moment, they've reduced the overwhelming nature. So discovery is fine, you
right.
know, and it's
right.
fun.
Is there any other industry that is doing something that you think beauty retail can really learn from? Like when I think of the service that you're providing to your customers, I always, and I know I kind of say this over and over, but hospitality is like,
right. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody thinks about that sector of just what they can glean from it. I mean, there's a service component, there's, you know, your associates. And we always used to talk about this good friction and bad friction. But I feel like across the board, we're seeing that tension of people being very much about convenience, wanting things quicker, faster, but also wanting to feel like they are humans mm-hmm. in a physical space. And that tension there, I think, is actually really important as you look at a journey for your store, is to identify where are the moments that you are going to leave a lasting impression and insert all that kind of hospitality and
right.
that service and the brand really coming through. And then those other ones, make them quicker, faster, easier, and don't dwell in there, because that's yeah. what the customer is going to remember you for and repay you.
With some of these trends and things that we're seeing, what is one big prediction that you have for beauty mm-hmm. retail in the future? Like, who's really just nailing it too in a way that you're just like, chef's kiss?
I will say Mecca, the flagship in Australia that just opened. There's a reason why they don't have a lot of competition in their
right.
market
yeah.
because
it's, just,
it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
A beauty wonderland.
Right, right.
But also such a thoughtful approach in layout, in the various experiences that you can have. I mean, you could spend a day there. They've really thought about what is truly my personal scent, or I'm just looking for a gift for somebody that's thoughtful, and they've curated that experience. And you see that they are so solution focused, but that also carries through to their website as well. And That's the forefront.
That's the forefront.
That's where we're headed. It's become so complicated. There's such a proliferation of products out there
mm-hmm.
that we need somebody to help distill it down for us and for our individual needs. So it all depends on the brand. It depends on what you stand for, what value you want to provide to your customer. I feel like that is going to be the game changers. Who really goes beyond the product, goes beyond just a brand, and how do you then build around that and create something that's really unique for your customer?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, Jamie, this has been so fun. I really enjoyed our conversation and so excited that
yeah.
we finally get to do this. So much great insights and data, and just to really help make it applicable to others. So thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, and thank you.
Thank you all for listening to Upfront.